Come on in, take a seat. Welcome. Welcome to Abbotsford Anglican Church, St. Andrew's. It's good to see you on this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week. And so we look forward to seeing praises to God today. We can actually sing. We've got permission to do that without masks, keeping our social distancing. So that's wonderful. So welcome to church. And those who are listening in, a special welcome to you. Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and on the way he took the 12 disciples aside and he said to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, though, he will be raised to life." It is wonderful that we can sing to the Lord. And from Psalm 96, verses 1 to 4, we read, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods." Let's stand and sing our first song together. Behold the Lamb of God.
Glory and honor and power.
have it there. Let's say together what we believe in the words of this affirmation of our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Please just turn around, stay where you are, turn around and just say, the Lord be with you, wave to people. The Lord be with you at home and also with you. Please take a seat. We want to have a special welcome Emily Carpenter, the Reverend Emily Carpenter. She's going to wave her hands just over there, and her good husband Mark, who's next to her. Emily is the chaplain at Concord Hospital and working with Anglicare, and she's our guest speaker today. And when I was thinking of Emily, I was trying to find a verse that I could sort of link into her, to link about her. And so I was thinking from Matthew's Gospel, verse 31 through to 37. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Could add you in hospital when you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Emily, come on up the front. I'm going to interview Emily. If you'd like to come to the lectern here, and I'll use... Those of you at home can't see what's happening here, but I'm trying to get to a microphone. That's all right. Sorry, David. So, Emily, welcome to church.
Good morning.
It's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, we're just going to have a little bit of fun here together. Tell us about your favourite food.
Favourite food, I enjoy food, as you can probably tell. But I come from a background from Malaysia. So I think for me, I love Malaysian food. If I have the opportunity to have it, I will go and get some.
All right. And I know you're going to mention something about sport when we come together with us here. But when you have time just to relax, what do you like to do? That you say, Mark, leave me alone. I just need to do this time now.
I'd probably grab an instrument and play. That's sometimes for me a time where I can just let go, and I enjoy singing praises to God. So that's for me a really good time to just sit and recharge. And
so what instrument do you play?
I play a few. I grew up learning the piano, and then started to learn the trumpet at school. And then because of church, I kind of jumped into learning to play guitar and drums and things like that.
Drums, so, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Just, and guitar, all right.
Yeah.
All right, and so tell me, you may bring this up in it comes to the talk time, but what drew you to hospital chaplaincy as opposed to maybe school chaplaincy or to prison chaplaincy? Or
yeah, good question. I don't know if there was anything in particular that kind of drove me to hospital chaplaincy. I've worked before chaplaincy as a minister in a church, and so I just loved meeting with people, loved meeting to talk with them about Jesus and to care for them. So I had a lot of people in my life who encouraged me to be in pastoral care work, and I think in terms of coming to hospital chaplaincy, I think things just kind of fell into place for me in terms of, yeah, God leading me into hospital chaplaincy. Just being able to be alongside people who are at times, for them, it's a very vulnerable time, very hard time for some. And so, to be able to spend time listening with them and encouraging them to rest in Jesus and the hope that we can have in him.
Well, our mission focus for this month is on the work of hospital chaplaincy at Anglicare, and so we look forward to you opening the scriptures to us later on and encouraging us.
Thanks, you Emily. I appreciate your support and prayers.
Before Rosemary comes to read the Bible to us and Emily to speak to us from Psalm 145, let me pray these words. Gracious God, your word is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Rosemary, come and read to us from God's word.
Good morning, everyone. The reading this morning comes from Psalm 145 and is up on the screen for you to follow along. Psalm 145. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and give them their and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
You up. Thanks, Emily. There you go.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
Just before I begin as well, if you are interested, Anglicare has a prayer diary of 31 days, and I've brought a couple that are just up the back on the table there. So if you want to grab one, if you don't have one already, please feel free to take one. Well, thank you very much for inviting me here to spend time together with you. It's a great privilege and honour. This is a psalm that has become one of my favourites to read, especially over the last 2 years as I've begun as a chaplain with Anglicare. It has been a great psalm that helps to remind and encourage all those who trust in the Lord. And it's a psalm to also help those who don't know the Lord to know him and understand what his true character is and how much he loves each one of us. Psalm 145 is a psalm of praise written by King David. Did you notice in verse 1 and 2 that David praises the Lord, his king, every day, forever and ever? I don't know about you, but does that declaration make you pause and wonder, really, David? Every day you praise God and you will praise him forever and ever? And you might be thinking, well, it makes sense. After all, he is king. He is wealthy. Why wouldn't you praise God all the time? David's not like us who have to deal with the harsh reality of life. But that would ignore the many moments in David's life where he felt that God had put him in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. David too felt abandoned by God at times, like when he was running for his life as people tried to kill him. Is God still worthy to be praised when we're in those kinds of moments? We only need to think about our own lives and know that we don't always feel like praising God when we're going through sickness, loneliness, grief, when we feel we're in the depths of the valley of life, or perhaps when we just forget about God in the busyness of our life. In my role as chaplain at the hospital, I meet people who have had healthy, secure and comfortable lives, and in a moment, their life has just turned upside down due to illnesses or an accident or someone who's a death of a loved one. Or I meet people in situations where wave after wave, hard situations in life have beaten them down, and they are weak and weary and they feel like there's nothing left for them. At these times, are we to follow in David's footsteps in this psalm and continue to praise the Lord every day, forever and ever? How can David do this? How can we praise God even when we may not feel like it? And how can we make praising the Lord a part of our everyday life? Well, before we jump into looking closer at Psalm 145, I wanted us to briefly take note of a couple of things as we look into this psalm. There are two things I want to highlight briefly. The first is that when David praises God every day, forever and ever, it doesn't mean that there's no space for sadness, for grief, for crying out to God and asking, why is this happening? And God doesn't promise that when we trust in him, he will automatically and immediately take us out of our tough situation. As we see very clearly in the Psalms, there are many times when David does cry out to God in anguish and desperation, asking for where he is. So there is space within our emotions and in the way we cry out to God that allows us to express our frustration, all of our emotions, whilst also giving praise to him. The second thing I found interesting about this psalm is that in the Jewish tradition, this psalm was recited 3 times a day. It was part of their everyday routine. It wasn't a spontaneous outbreak of praise because something just happened in their lives and they, you know, just break out in praise. No, this psalm was a carefully crafted psalm which was said out loud 3 times a day. If you looked at this psalm in the Hebrew language, you'd notice that each line begins with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. David creatively put this together, this acrostic, to help them remember this psalm of praise. I'm not sure If I said to you, every good boy deserves fruit, does anyone know what this means or is related to? Yep. Yeah, it helps us to remember what the notes are in the treble clef of a staff. It helps us to read music. Or how about if I said Acts as a model of prayer? Does anyone know what Acts stands for? Thank you, yes. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Very helpful things for us to remember how we can do certain things. And I think that this is a helpful thing for us to do, to memorize God's words. It will help us to remember who our God is, so much so that it becomes a part of who we are, becomes a natural instinct. I love playing sports. Cricket and table tennis are probably some of my favourite to play. But in my training for these sports, I spent hours upon hours practicing the same movements so that when I'm in the game, my body automatically knows what to do. You know, I've trained it to move to the right place so I can easily make that shot. You know, I won't get too flustered or forget how to hit the ball in that moment. I think that that's what we want to be like with God's word and his promises. So that when we are in times of suffering, we want to be as prepared as we can be. So that when we feel like everything around us is crumbling, we have God's word so ingrained in us, in our minds, in our hearts, that we are able to rest upon God and face whatever challenges in life. I'd encourage each one of us, especially as we go through this psalm, to think about how we can train ourselves to praise God in our everyday life and to remember who he is. Well, let's jump into Psalm 145 and discover what is it about the Lord which brings out David's praise and how we can train ourselves to know him more. Well, the first thing that David praises is God's name, the Lord. And that includes all of God's character and attributes. David tells us that the Lord is his great, majestic, and eternal King, and he is worthy to be praised. Throughout the psalm, David tells us the Lord is powerful, mighty, gracious, compassionate, good, slow to anger, rich in love, trustworthy, faithful, and he is a just God. If you have a look at verse 8, these words there remind us of the time in Exodus, in chapter 34, in verses 6 and 7, when Moses is up on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments for the second time, and the Lord comes down to pass in front of Moses, and he then declares who he is, and he says his name, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. It's a wonderful description and summary of God, isn't it? This is how God declares who he is. And David, in this psalm, reminds us of this. The second thing that we see, especially in verses 4 to 13, are the mighty acts of God that are being declared to all people. God's actions back up the descriptions of who he is. So the Lord reveals himself throughout history, and generations after generations tell of God's mighty acts. Israel's history shows us mighty acts like God saving the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, or God providing food and water for them in the desert. Just a few of the very many examples that we find in the Old Testament. And later on in the psalm, from verse 13 onwards, there are more wonderful reasons for us to praise the Lord. More mighty acts that David himself experienced throughout his life. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The Lord provides. The Lord satisfies the desires of every living thing. The Lord hears the cry of his people and saves them. He watches over all who love him. Looking at this list, I mean, can you see why David praises God every day and why he also calls every creature to praise him? I mean, for us in 2021, we actually get to see a more comprehensive view of all of the mighty acts of the Lord that what David sees in his time, because we have the whole Bible. We have the Old and the New Testaments that continues to reveal and enhance the amazing character and mighty acts of the Lord. I mean, we see the Lord's amazing power, compassion, mercy, and grace and love ultimately displayed in Jesus Christ through his life, death, and resurrection. And this mighty act was for us. We were stuck in our disobedience to God, but he rescued us from eternal death and gave us the gift of life that, should we choose to receive it, he will give it to us. And he invites us, everyone, to be in a relationship with him. I don't know if you noticed, but the word all is used in this psalm about 16 times. Why is this important? Well, especially in verse 9, if you have a look at it, we see the wonderful goodness and compassion of the Lord is given to all that he has made. It shows the common grace that God bestows on everyone. Just as we see in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, Jesus talks of this attribute of God, where the Father bestows his love and goodness upon all, where it says, he causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This is a wonderful aspect of God, because even if we might be someone who has not spared a thought to God at all in life, he is good, loving, and compassionate towards them as well. And as we remember God's amazing love and powerful act in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, it's a gift that's given freely to every single person. All we need to do is take the gift of Jesus, to love God and believe in him. And for me, that is one of the most wonderful and loving things that God has given to us. The gift of a relationship with him, to know him forever. Last year, I was watching the TV series MasterChef Back to Win. I was really excited to find out that on my route to and from work to Concord Hospital was the contestant Reynolds' famous dessert shop, Koi. This was a very dangerous thing for my diet. But on my way home, one day on my way home from work, I stopped by and I bought some dessert. And they are as tasty and as they are beautiful to look at. A beautiful balance of flavours, just the right amount of sweet and saltiness. I enjoyed them very much. But I couldn't keep it to myself. They were worthy of my praise. And I had to share them with my friends and family, all about these wonderful desserts. And so I went back to the shop and bought more and more, just so I can share them with my friends and family, so that they could also enjoy the taste of these desserts. When we experience the goodness or joy of something, we don't just keep it to ourselves, do we? We tend to tell others about it. For example, you know, we might just say, oh, just the other night I saw a great movie, well worth watching. Or did you try this new restaurant? Amazing food. Or did you watch the game last night? What a finish. It was awesome. Well, that's what we see here in this psalm, don't we? David begins the psalm with his personal praise. But as we move throughout the psalm, praise of the Lord becomes a sharing of the goodness of the Lord from person to person. And in verse 12 and 13, we see that they declare and sing the praises of the Lord so that all people may know about the Lord's mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Although praise might come from within our hearts, it also should be something that we declare out loud to people. because we want people to experience whatever we enjoy and value. And we'd love people to enjoy and experience the goodness of our Lord. In the time that I've been working as a chaplain, I've had the privilege of meeting Christians who've been in hospital of all ages. And as we've spoken together, they've shared with me about their life and about the goodness that they have received through Jesus, through all their hills and valleys. I learn of God's mighty acts in their life, his faithfulness, and how he's sustained them throughout life, and also now, whilst they're in hospital. It's such an encouragement to me to hear how God works in the lives of people. It helped me to remember and to reflect on the greatness of the Lord, just as David does in this psalm. These same patients have also proclaimed God's name and praises as they talk with nurses and doctors and all who interact with them, so that they may also know the Lord's mighty acts and glory. And it's so encouraging to see this happen. On the flip side of the situation, I've also had opportunity to speak with patients who may have had very little background in church, or perhaps not even at all. And they don't really know who God is, or they've forgotten what his character is like. And I've had the great privilege of being able to spend time with them whilst they're in hospital to share with them about who our amazing God is. You know, and due to things like the Bible Society grant that we have, or even the generous gifts that you as a church gave to a Urala estate at Christmas time, we've been able to share with them God's word in different formats. And it's encouraging to see the patients interested in wanting to know God and being reminded of his true character, and that he loves and cares for them, which then brings them that comfort and peace and hope that only God can bring. And for each of these patients, I turn to God in prayer and ask that he will pour out his grace upon them, provide the support that they need, especially when they leave the hospital. Because as verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. And so we can share the good news of Jesus, pray and trust that God will have compassion on them so that they might praise the Lord. Praising the Lord to others can be a challenge for each one, can't it? We can spend time praising God in our own personal prayer, but how much time do we spend praising the Lord to those around us? From the younger to the older, and vice versa. I find it very encouraging when I get to chat with people who are older than me and for them to share with me how God has worked in their lives. It's such a great blessing. Do we share the wonderful works that God is doing in our own lives to our family, friends, workmates? Is there someone this week that you can share the Lord, you know, the Lord's amazing goodness with? It's another aspect of this psalm for us to reflect upon and be challenged by. Well, my prayer is that as we've gone through this psalm, we've been reminded of the Lord and how amazing he is and how he is worthy to be praised. I pray that we will continue to spend time in his word, remembering the greatness of our Lord, so that when we do go through those ups and downs in life, even though our circumstances may change, we can remember and be confident, comforted, and assured that our Lord does not change, that he is always faithful, he is always gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love, he is good to all, he is always near to all who call upon him. He hears our cries and saves us. I pray that we've been encouraged to share with each other what God has done and is doing in our lives, that we are so filled with joy that we'll remind each other of the amazing grace and goodness that we receive from him through life. I pray that we've been encouraged by David to follow his example in praising the great and mighty Lord forever and ever, every day. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Psalm 145 and for the way that David has shown us that you are indeed great and most worthy to be praised. We pray that you might help us to find joy in you every day, remembering who you are and the mighty acts that you have done in our lives, especially remembering the ultimate act of sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we might have eternal life. May we be people who share your goodness and love to all we meet. May we stand alongside David and praise you every day, forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Emily. Before we sing our next song together, Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, out of the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Please stand and let's sing this next song together. Put a new song in my heart. David comes to lead us in prayer, a scripture verse again from the Psalms, Psalm 95 verses 6 to 7, says, come let us bow down in worship, let's kneel before the Lord our Maker, because he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock that's under his care. The focus draws us to God and to our his relationship with us and what he's promised to do for us. So David, very shortly I'm going to get you to come up to pray. Before we do that, we often know that we fail God and we come to church not only to give people an opportunity who might just drop off the street, who want to find who Jesus is, to come to know him, through the forgiveness of sin, but also for us to be know that God forgives us through Christ. And so we have confession and forgiveness in our times of meeting together for that very purpose of encouragement. So I'm going to allow us just to be paused and to think on the importance of God and his relationship with you. And then I'm going to invite you to pray this little prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we may well be very burdened with a number of things that are on our hearts at this moment. Things that worry us and concern us, things that preoccupy us. You cause our face to drop, and we feel, Father, very much afraid and away from you. So gracious and loving Father, as we come now before you, we may be mindful, Father, of things that others have failed us, or we ourselves have failed, and we need to come and stand on that rock again. Father, forgive us our sins as we pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to his Son for mercy. Amen. David.
The Lord be with you. Let's pray together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for revealing yourself, compassionate, gracious, mighty, faithful, trustworthy, glorious, good, righteous, and a judge. Help us to have this written in our hearts so that we are ready like an athlete for whatever is in store for us. Thank you for putting your spirit in us to make this real, and it means that we're never alone. As we come to Easter, we thank you that in Jesus you have saved us and brought us all to be your people. We thank you for this gift that shows your amazing love to us. Help us to praise you and find joy in you every day. Amen. Amen. All-seeing Lord, we bring before you the troubled nation of Myanmar and the unrest and trauma that its people are going through. After seizing power last month, the military have continued to use oppressive and murderous tactics in managing the protests of the people against the coup. And just yesterday was Armed Forces Day for the military, which has led to more violence and killings. At the same time, religious leaders have called for a day of mourning with prayer and fasting because of the recent killings. We ask for the international community to behave with integrity and courage in intervening in the situation there. Lord God, we ask for peace and stability to return to the nation of Myanmar. Please be merciful on the people there and in a country which is predominantly Buddhist and where a third of people are unreached by the gospel. We ask that by your saving power, that this will be known by the people in Myanmar, including at this time and through this unrest. Amen. Sovereign and mighty Lord, we thank you for the amazing steps that continue to be taken in fighting the spread of the coronavirus. We thank you for the incredible recent results across our nation, where we have seen very little community transmission for so long. Thank you, Lord, for this position that now allows many aspects of life to be returned. At the same time, we continue to see heavy impacts on other nations. This week the news has been about Papua New Guinea and countries in Europe who are still responding to massive numbers of new cases every day. Heavenly Father, please give the leaders and medical community great strength and courage in these countries so that they can reduce the impact and harm for as many people as possible. We thank you for the provision of the vaccine and ask that it will be now rolled out quickly, equitably and effectively to the people who need it most. We ask for wisdom for those in leadership to be able to make wise decisions about this that are in the common good. Lord God, we know that you are our strength and shield, so we pray for all this, putting our trust in you. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, creator and preserver of our world, we ask you to hear our humble prayers for those affected by the devastating floodwaters throughout eastern Australia, including southeastern Queensland, northern New South Wales, and the regions of western Sydney. We pray for all threatened by floodwaters in city and rural areas. Protect both life and property. In your mercy, bring relief to affected areas. We pray for the sick, the injured, and the homeless. Have compassion in the midst of suffering, comforting and relieving men, women, and children according to their needs. Give courage and hope in the midst of despair. Through the generosity of governments and individuals, provide a future for those whose present circumstances are marked by loss and desperation. Grant wisdom to those who assist, especially government leaders, our state emergency service, our Australian Defence Force, other emergency workers and aid agencies. And by your gracious hand, rebuild communities where men, women and children are nurtured with care and love. We particularly pray for Christian ministers and their congregations serving affected communities. By your grace, enable and equip them to be faithful servants in the midst of hardship and effective witnesses of your saving message. At this time, may those without genuine peace find true hope in your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Lord Jesus, our shepherd, we pray for your clergy whom you have called to the ministry of uniformed chaplaincy and for those who proclaim your love and compassion where Australian military personnel serve. Lord, strengthen their faith as they seek to witness to you in the secular world. Protect them from all dangers and comfort them in the long separations from their families and the familiar things of church. Lord, who bless the peacemakers, bless especially those chaplains serving overseas, helping to bring peace to nations which are struggling to find their identity and place in the world. Father, we also thank you for the work Trevor does in his role as an army chaplain. Thank you for equipping and preparing him for the work he does in supporting other chaplains and the defence staff. Please help him to be a strong witness of your love and saving power for all as he does this work in your kingdom. Lord God, we thank you for all in our defence forces and the chaplains who look to support them. Amen. Lord God, our foundation and rock, we thank you for the leadership of our diocese and especially for the Reverend Dr. Glenn Davies, who has just finished his time as Archbishop. Thank you for what he has done in this time and the blessing he has been as Archbishop. Lord God, as the Synod now turns to the important job of selecting the next Archbishop, we ask that you will grant them wisdom and insight to be able to make the right selection. We thank you for the four nominees and what they are already doing in the life of the diocese. We ask that you will guide the Synod to make the right choice of leader who is right for the diocese at this time. Heavenly Father, we bring before you all our brothers and sisters across the diocese today and ask that you will bless each parish as it meets today. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish and everyone present today. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to more and more be growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts so that whatever we do it all in your name and giving you thanks for everything. Heavenly Father, we also have a number of people who have special needs at this time. Lord God, we bring before you Lynn Clark, Brian Cave, Jean Steele, Kay Woodcock, and Max Schweitzer. Lord, please provide for them in the way that they best need. Lord God, for all our people in need, please give them peace and comfort. Heavenly Father, we turn to you, trusting that you will provide what is needed in all ways and at all times. Amen. Lord God, we bring before you all these and our other prayers. As we finish, we'll pray with the collective of the day for a closer union with Christ in his passion. Almighty, ever-living God, you have given the human race Jesus Christ our Saviour as a model of humility. He fulfilled your will by becoming man and giving his life on the cross. Help us to bear witness to you by following his example of suffering, and make us worthy to share in his resurrection. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, David. Well, thank you for joining us today. Emily, thank you for being amongst us today. I now, when I see a chocolate or a dessert, so I'm wanting to go to that place, I really do. But it was such a great illustration just to be able to say, yeah. And how, again, how easy we are, we say about a meal that we've had, you know, and we want to tell somebody else about it. Or we've seen a game and we think, isn't that great to just see that, you know. Our Lord is great. Our Lord is good. And as we come into this week of Holy Week and we lead up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, we remember that God loves us deeply and he has our best interests at heart. We are very, very important to him, and he loves us dearly, and he wants us and has made us friends with him through Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection for us. And so this Friday when we come together, we remember the death of Jesus. We'll be reading through Matthew's Gospel at the end, chapter 26, 25 and 26 together. There's a long lot of readings in it, but we go back in time and we're taken to the day of the cross and we're reminded of God's love. Jaseth Miles is coming to speak to us and remind us of what that means for us. And then we'll be singing some songs. It might seem a sad day, but it's a reflective day for us to think on, this is for us. We deserve to be on that cross, but Christ has gone to that cross for us. And this is our friend indeed, who died for us, and we're truly grateful. So it may be a service that's very, very reflective for you, but then on Sunday we come together and we celebrate his resurrection and his life eternal and all of that is for us. So that's this Friday, 9:30, we meet together. Invite a friend to come along to hear God's word. And Sunday at 9:30. Also, Rosemary and I would love to have you stay and have some morning tea with us after church in the rectory to start that little tradition again on Good Friday with hot cross buns. Yummy. Tomorrow night, I've moved our parish prayer meeting just a week earlier to tie in with Easter week. So if you're able to join a few of us here in the foyer from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock tomorrow night, please do so. Or set aside some time tomorrow in the evening or during the day to think on God's work in this place over Easter time and to pray for it. Well, finally, a final scripture from Psalm 145, verses 3 to 5. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts, and they speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. What a great hymn to finish off with on. Crown him with many crowns. Please stand and let's sing this great hymn together.
Crowns, the Lamb upon his
gracious God, you made an eternal covenant with us through the blood of your Son, and you brought him back from the dead as the great shepherd of your sheep. Equip us with everything good for doing your will. Work in us what is pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.